Have you ever stood at the edge of something new, and felt the excitement and the fear and the anxiety and the wonder of what should I do? We've all felt that. And there's so many different examples of that in our life, in events in our life that we come to, whether it is events of competition, you know, when there's a big game coming up and you're on the edge of that and you don't know how it's going to go, and there's those butterflies within in you, whether it's an event, you think of a wedding, you think of a graduation, or you think of starting a new journey, whether it's a class or a job. There's that morning that you wake up the first day that you feel like you're on the edge of something. Today we are on the edge of the future. It's a unique thing that today we gather together on New Year's Eve. It doesn't happen too often that Sunday is on New Year's Eve. But as I thought about that, I wanted to just encourage us that it's those moments, that the key to those moments are being intentional. Because what happens is when you come to those moments, if you don't stop and become conscious and aware of that moment, many times the possibilities pass us by. Many times we're not successful in those things because we didn't stop and take inventory and prepare ourselves to make the most of those moments. And today we stand on the edge of a new year, of our future, of our destiny. The choices we make can totally determine not just this year, but sometimes we don't realize it, but it can change the destiny of our life, the destiny of our soul, of our spirit. And so today I want to talk about, what does it mean to be on the edge of the future? What are we going to do? Are we just going to make some resolutions? See, it's not about just making some resolutions. We do that a lot, and they come and they go. Some of them we accomplish, some of them we don't. I'm talking about making a determination of the direction of your whole life. Not just some habits, not just some things that you do, but who am I going to be? Where am I going to head? That's what God wants us to stop and begin to consciously and intentionally take inventory of. Now, we see a lot of these stories in the Bible that there's a lot of times where people were on the edge of decision, that they were on the edge of the future, and what they did made a difference, not just for them. And this is the key that we're going to talk about. The decisions you make today and tomorrow and through this year do not just affect you, but they affect other people. They affect us. And so it is even more important that we need to begin to wake up and grasp the importance of decisions of where we go. And really, this is every day. Because every day you wake up on the edge of your future. It's not just today as a New Year's special day. But I think so many times every morning, we just wake up and go through the motions and not realize that every morning you can make a new decision to change your future, to change your destiny. And we need to become more aware of that. And so I want to look at a specific example in the Bible that is written for our example, for our warning, for our admonition. In fact, it says in the New Testament, these stories of what God did are not just history, and they're not just good stories that we can read and learn a lesson from, but it says these are there because there are principles that are meant for us specifically. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at one example that's actually two examples, but it's the same one, and it's going to start in Numbers chapter 13. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, you might already know what the situation was. The children of Israel, God had delivered them from Egypt. God had redeemed his people and brought them out of slavery and persecution because he had a purpose for them. He had an inheritance for them. He had a destiny for them. He had life that was promised to them. He wanted to see them. He loved them. They were the tools that he was going to bless the whole world through. And after being redeemed and after coming through even the first moment, which was at the Red Sea, and that was a moment of decision, brought them through a great time there. He brought them through so many acts in the desert that miracles that brought them through, that here in this situation, they find themselves on the edge of the River Jordan, looking across into the Promised Land. This land that God had promised them and that they had already achieved through Abraham. Abraham had already walked this land, had already established it before they had been taken away into captivity and slavery in Egypt. And now they were coming back to their land. And they stood at the edge. And we all know the story that Moses sent across into the land the 12 spies to go and plan out what they were going to do as they came back into the land. And so this is where we pick it up in Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. And it says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to the land to which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, what a terrible word here. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let's go up at once and take it and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. But then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of the Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose another leader and let us go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. You see, they stood on the edge of the future. And we know that there was two reports. There was the report that this is a good land. Man, this is a great land. Do you know what? God has a purpose for each one of us. This year, the rest of your life, God has a purpose for. There is good things. There are things that God wants to bring life into you. God wants to bring joy. He wants to bring contentment. He wants to bring a feeling of satisfaction of a job well done. He wants to work in you in such a way that you change the world. But you see, there is another reality. The other reality was that there are giants in the land. That it's not just given to us, that there's going to be a battle. And there's this perception that we are like grasshoppers. The whole point is, which report are we going to believe? Now, we know that at this point, they chose the path that was much easier. In fact, we see in the report that they chose to respond to the edge of the future instead of embracing it. They embraced fear. They embraced selfishness, and they embraced apathy. First of all, instead of trusting God, instead of believing God, what entered their heart was fear. Fear of what's going to happen. If I truly follow God with all my heart, you know what? I'm afraid that I'm going to lose friends, or what am I going to look like to other people? These are the things that enter into us. Because right now, we stand on the edge of totally following God. Or the other option is to go back the other way. You see, it was because of fear of what it would cost them. There was fear of what they would lose. There was fear of the inconvenience that they would rather go back. They would rather go back to Egypt, where they were slaves, than the possibility of the greatness that God had promised. And we think that is crazy, and yet we all do it. Many of you, we give in to fear. You're afraid of maybe life would not be what you decided to be, which that brings us to selfishness. Many times we don't want to commit to fully following God because you know what? That journey, that might mean that I won't define my life the way I want to define it. Here's the problem. You see, they wanted life the way they defined it. And we all do this. God can never work in your life if you're going to choose to define what your life is going to be. You see, it's not until we choose to say, God, you define me. But we don't want that, because what if he defines us a way that we don't want? See, that's the point, that we are standing on the edge. And there's no easy answer. I'm not going to tell you that God's just going to give you what you want, because God knows better. Even if the better that God knows is totally against what we want for ourselves. All I can tell you is that God's way is better than our way. You have to trust, and that's where faith comes in. But they were selfish. They wanted it the way they wanted it. And that wasn't going to happen in the promised land. I'm sorry, they weren't going to walk in and just get everything they wanted. That's not the way it was going to work. And it's not the way that's going to work in your life. You're not going to get everything you want. I'm sorry. In fact, I'm not sorry, because many things that you want are the worst things for you. And it can be a good thing, a family, a husband, a wife, but maybe God doesn't have that in the books for you. You might say, well, why? I deserve that. There's nothing wrong with it. No, it's not nothing wrong, but God has something better. And if you continue to be stubborn and demand what you want, you forfeit the best thing that God has planned for you. And then finally, apathy. We didn't read in the story, but there was 2.5 of the tribes of Israel that as they stood on the edge of the promised land, they had already defeated the enemies and they had gained the inheritance that God had given them. They had gained the land that God had given them. And so for them, standing on the edge of the Jordan, they really didn't care. Well, why do I need to go into the promised land? I've already got my promised land. You know what? Many of us as Christians, we miss out what God has because we think we've already got what. I'm happy with what I've got. We have grown into apathy because we have begun to think that we are content with what you have. The problem is, if we settle for what we have, you miss out on the best. You see, we settle for good and we forfeit the best. And in fact, if they had settled for the good, they were going to lose that. See, that's the tricky thing. When we get content with God, it says that in the end, you're going to even lose that. When he talked about the stewards, Jesus gave the parable that even those that have, that's going to be taken away if you don't understand that you are called not just for yourself, but to fight for others. You see, coming into the promised land was not for them, but they were called to fight for their brothers. They were called to fight for their family. Even though they already had what they wanted, if we don't fight for one another, if we don't understand that we are a family, that we get this all together, that until everyone gets what God has for them, then you're going to lose what you think you have. Look what happens from there. It said, then the Lord said, because God was going to destroy him right then and there. And how many know Moses, a humble man, I don't know how he did it. He dealt with these grumbling people. And yet he had the patience. He even prayed, God, spare them. God, don't, you know, they're doing their best. They don't understand. And so he prayed for them again. If I was Moses, I would have said, kill him. See, God said, you know what? God said, Moses, I'll raise up a people out of you. I'm going to kill them and we'll start fresh with you. I would have said, hey, that sounds pretty good, right? Okay, let's do that. But Moses said, no. That is a mark of a great person, that he cared more about others than what he would have got from God. And so as he prayed for them, God said, okay, I have pardoned them according to your word. But truly as I live and as the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and they have not obeyed my voice. None of them shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despised me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit, and he followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Oh, let us be like Caleb. Now, since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumbling of the people Israel, and they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness. And of all your number listed in the census from 20 years old and up, who have grumbled against me, basically did not believe, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become prey, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies will fall in the wilderness. And your children will be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years, and they will suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lie in the wilderness. You see, if we respond to our future today with fear and self-centeredness and apathy, that path is going to lead us, first of all, to wandering. Your life is going to be a life of wandering. If you don't trust God, if you don't believe in God, if you just say, I'm going to do what I want, you know what? You may enjoy the fruits for a moment, but it's going to be constant wandering because there's no fulfillment in that. This world will give you seasons of joy, but those will always fade away. There will be a constant wandering because only God can fulfill the true inner desires of your heart. They wandered. Frustration. Times of peaks and valleys. Oh, I'm happy, but then I'm sad. You will never find full fulfillment getting what you want. Even if you were able to accomplish everything you want, I'm telling you, you will wander in life. And you may wonder, why am I unhappy when I have accomplished so much? In fact, many of us feel the same way. Oh, look at my life is so terrible. And other people look at you and say, my gosh, I would take your life in a second. Why is that? Because we're wandering. Because we can't even accept the good things because we've never truly put our trust and stepped out in faith for God. Not only wandering, they wandered in the desert, but look what happened. Because they responded to God with fear and self-centeredness and apathy, suffering came. Not for them, but for their kids. It said their kids are going to suffer for your faithlessness. Because you were without faith in God, others are going to suffer. Do you know that when you choose not to step into the future God has for you, you don't just affect yourself, you affect others around you, friends, family, coworkers. They will suffer because of you. You might want to say, well, then I won't have anything. You can't help it. You cannot separate yourself from the effect that you have on others. The only way you can do is choose what effect you have. And by choosing God, you choose to bring blessing to others. It may be the hard path, but the hard path will bring not only joy to you, but it will bring blessing to others. They suffered. Their children suffered because they chose to disbelieve. And then finally, death. When we do not step into our future, we end up losing it all. They lost everything until all of them died without ever seeing what God had for them. And I'm sure that some of them died seeing, see, God was no good. God was a bad God anyway. He didn't have anything good. See, how blind were they? That there was so much for them and they couldn't even see it because they were so clouded by disbelief, anger, hurt, fear, that they missed out on the beautiful plans of God. And they died probably in their anger against God. What a sad end. Well, that brings us to the same place 40 years later. Because the same edge of the future came again. And here's the other choice that we have. Now we see Joshua leading the generation. They're at the same place. But I want to tell you, you have a different option. Instead of fear, self-centeredness, and apathy, you can choose to step into the future. And we can do it this way. In Joshua chapter 1, this is what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Same thing he said to the other people, right? Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do we see a pattern here? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Here's the choice that they made. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people to prepare your provisions, for within 3 days we are going to pass over the Jordan and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, this is those 2.5 tribes that I talked about earlier, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock, they will remain in the land that Moses has already given you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you, they must pass over armed before your brothers, and you will help them. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as he has to you, and they take possession of the land that the Lord has given them, then you will return to the land of your possession, and you will possess it. And the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things. Now that's a questionable statement. But, good heart there. We will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, we will put him to death. And how do we end? Only be strong and courageous. I want to tell you, today we stand on the edge of a choice. God has laid out before us a promised land. There is a life that God has for you that is one of fulfillment. It is one of purpose. It is one of joy and peace and rest that will bring your life to the fulfillment of what it was meant to be. But it's not going to be easy. You see, here's how they responded. These were the things it took. They chose courage. Now, why do you need courage if everything's going to be easy? So because it's not going to be easy, you need courage. But you need to trust God. There is almost a fulfillment in courage. That means you need to have courage to come against your own desires. You know what? You have to have courage to stand up against yourself and say, I will not do what I feel. Maybe in your heart you have those feelings, but you have to have courage to stand up and say, I will not be defined by my own heart. David said this. He said, heart, why are you cast down? I will look up to God. You see, we need courage against our own emotions, against our own wicked heart. We need courage against others. You can't be afraid of what other people are going to say. You can't be afraid of what other people are going to think about you. You can't be afraid of what's going to happen in your life. It takes courage to trust God. It takes devotion. I want to encourage you, if we're going to step into this new thing that God has for us, one thing it's going to take, we need to seek God. Now, it's starting tonight and this week. We need devotion. We need to seek the face of God in prayer. We've got to come back to prayer like never before. If you want what God has for you, you've got to commit to devotion and prayer, seeking God's face. God told him this way. He said, you need to come back and meditate on my words. We need to not only pray, but we need to get back into the Word of God. I want to tell you this year, and I know many times we've talked about it, but even more than anything, I want to challenge you to set out to read through the Bible this year. And not just to read through quickly, but to let the words make a difference. He told them, he said, let the word of the of my law, let it find its place in your heart that you meditate on it day and night. We need to come back to a devotion where we love God, that we love his word more than we love the things of this world. You see, that's going to be a hard choice because there's a lot of activities that you can do that will take up your time. You can get caught up in the busyness of this world, and it's not just responsibility, it's your choice. Instead, we need to have a devotion that the Word of God will take preference. You know, what is church? Many times you say, are we just being legalistic about pushing church? No, I think a priority of coming together, it's not about the church. It's about saying, God, I'm going to be devoted to the Word of God. I'm going to be devoted to studying together. I'm going to be devoted to coming into the house of God and praying and seeking your face. There needs to be a devotion. We need to put a higher priority on the holy times that we have together and begin to seek God. We have Bible plans that are available that you can begin this year to say, I'm going to read through the Bible. And there's lots of different plans. You can Google it. You can go on and find all different ones. If you've done it before, do it in a different version of the Bible. But let's begin to be people that come back to the Word. We need to be people of the Word because it's that Word, it's the devotion to the Word of God that's going to bring us into the promised land. Maybe you wonder why your family's always up and down, why you're struggling with things in your life. Well, we need to start a new journey. It starts with courage, and then it's devotion. Will you be devoted to the Word of God? Will you be devoted to prayer and seeking His face? And then sacrifice. You cannot achieve the promise of God without sacrifice. I hate to tell you that. Nothing comes easy. You're going to have to sacrifice. You might have to sacrifice your dreams. You may have to sacrifice what you thought your future would be. Because you need to understand that the greatest future you can imagine may be the very worst thing for you if it is not the plan of God for you. We need to begin to sacrifice. That might mean sacrificing pleasures. It might mean sacrificing desires. It might be sacrificing your dream. But I am here to tell you that that dream that you're sacrificing does not compare to what God will give you. So it's not a hard sacrifice if you know our God. Because the God says, I have an inheritance for you that totally outshines that dream. Are you willing to sacrifice? Half the people had to sacrifice their homes. They already had everything that God had given them. But he said, will you be willing to sacrifice it for the rest of the people? We need to sacrifice for one another. That's why we come together on Sundays. It's not just for yourself. See, when did we think it's all for us? You say, I can be a Christian and I come to church. Yes, you can, but you are denying the fullness that God has because we come together for one another. There are other people that may need your encouragement. They need you to be here to pray with them. They need you here to exhort them. We are here not for ourselves, but we are here for one another. We need to begin to sacrifice our own desires and needs for one another. And finally, there was a commitment. What was the commitment? It said, everywhere your feet go, I'll give it to you. Now, here's the thing. Do you understand that? That means you got to go. He wasn't just giving it to them. They had to walk it. They had to walk through the land to claim it. You see, many times we just sit back and say, God, just give it to me. We need to stop sitting back, and we need to start going and getting it. We need to begin to walk the life that God has for us, and there's a commitment to that. That means we need to begin to stop just, well, when I have time and however it goes. No. Following the Lord is not your convenience. Following the Lord and experiencing all that He has for us comes with commitment. It comes with a decision that I am going to be faithful. Faithfulness is not easy, and it's not convenient. In fact, that's the very source of faithfulness. And yet God is faithful to reward people who do walk in commitment. The commitment was, you notice that it said, anyone that stands against you, you will overcome them. But here's the thing, that means that some people will stand against you. See, we like the power, we like the victory, but you see what comes with all of these things, first of all, what comes with courage and devotion and sacrifice and commitment, you know what that leads to? The first thing it leads to is battles. When you follow God, it's going to lead to hardship. This might not be a good thing to try and talk you into following God, but it's the truth, is that when you follow God, things are not going to get easier, they're going to get harder. But you see, in the battles is where we win the victory. You can't get the inheritance without fighting the battle. And he promised that not only do you have battles, but you have power. That no matter who you face, and you're going to face some hard things, you're going to face some things in your own heart. You're going to face disappointment. You're going to face discouragement. You're going to face depression. But if you will stand up and say, I will not give into it, but I'm going to fight this battle, and I'm going to put my trust in God, he said that they will not be able to stand before you. You will get past them because you have the power of God on your side. If you choose courage, if you choose devotion and sacrifice. And not only that, not only do you have the power of God, it says you have the presence of God. It says if you will step into the promised land, wherever you go, I will be with you. I don't think there's any greater promise that God of the universe, the God, the creator of everything said, I will be with you. I love you enough to walk with you. You know what? Just to feel the presence of God is all I need. There's times where I'm lonely. There's times where I'm fearful. I'm not saying you'll never feel those things, but in the midst of those things, God's with me. I don't walk alone. There's times where I'm upset. There's times where I'm disappointed. That's okay, but God is with me, and I don't let go of his hand, and I choose to push through that. And then finally, there's blessing. When you walk in courage and devotion and sacrifice, I'm going to tell you, at the end of the road, there is blessing. There is blessing like you cannot measure. There is a blessing and inheritance that's better than your definition of yourself. There's blessing and inheritance. There is a land flowing with milk and honey. There is households. There is rest. There is the blessing of rest. He said, I will give you rest. You know what that rest is? To know that your life mattered. You did it. Everything you did was worthwhile because you pushed through and you trusted God. What a blessing to know that you accomplished what you were created to do. And there is a rest that God will bring to us. Some of us, we're so tired of fighting the battles that we just want the rest. Well, that only comes through the battles. If you're willing to step out in courage and in devotion and sacrifice and commitment, it will lead to these things. But you've got to make that choice. So here's the thing. We are on the edge of the future today. A new year is starting tomorrow. What better day to face your future right now and say, what's going to be my destiny? Because here's the thing. You can either respond to God in fear or in selfishness and arrogance and unbelief and apathy. And you know what? You're going to wander. You're going to bring suffering to others. And eventually, it's a choice of death. Or we can make the hard choice. And yes, this is a harder side, but it's a better result. We can respond with courage. We can be strong and courageous and know that God is for me. God is calling me not to make the other choice. I can have devotion. I am going to devote myself to know God, to seek him. And there's going to be sacrifice. And I'm going to choose sacrifice. And I'm going to choose commitment. But it's going to lead to life. Which choice are you going to make? Every day we got to make that choice. But God is faithful. These were God's words, I have set before you life and death. And you know what he said? I pray you choose life. You see, it's not God's fault that we choose death. He understands it's hard, but he said choose life. Not only for yourself, but for your family, for your friends, for those around your sake. Because when you choose life, that life overflows. It touches them. Let's choose life. We are on the edge of the future. Let us do that. Let's bow our hearts.